just as our lives are consumed in the inevitable struggles of hearts which have renounced the world in self-sacrifice, and in the joys and pains of love which will not end with death, but which will shine forever in the everlasting encounter with the flame that is kindled at the center of all our lives, Jesus Christ, the light of the world and our Redeemer. Those words were spoken by Pope John XXIII to a gathering of nuns on this very feast day, a gathering of nuns who had made their pilgrimage to Rome to take their final vows and dedicate their lives in service to God. And those words speak eloquently of the frailness and fragility of our own lives, and how, while we were as yet in the womb, we were fashioned to serve God, to be bearers of God's light, and to banish the darkness in each life that we touch. That is why we were made. And those words, that prayer, remind us that just as a candle comes into being as the union of wick and wax, so too we come into being in the union of flesh and spirit. They remind us that just as a candle only comes to life when touched by the light and warmth of the flame, so too we, in our baptism, only experience fullness of life when kindled by the light and warmth of the Spirit, and only pursue our calling when the light and radiance of who we are touches the lives of others. Today, we celebrate the presentation of the Lord in the temple, the day when we await the proclamation of Christ as the light, not just to the children of Israel, but to the whole world. Imagine that. It's the day when we present ourselves to God through the symbol of a candle, not just as a sign that the light of the world has come to us, but also to symbolize our own fragile and frail humanity, and like Simeon, to ask God to enlighten us with the light of God's presence, especially in this world which can seem so very dark, so overshadowed and gripped by fear and anxiety. We come offering ourselves, but asking that we might be light, to banish some of that darkness, to quell some of that fear. But to really understand what we're asking and what we're offering, because it's always both in our lives, always asking and offering in an endless river. Understand that we need to get caught up in the drama of today's gospel, because it is such a pivotal chapter in the story of our salvation. Here it goes. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple fulfill the law of Moses, that every firstborn son had to be dedicated to God's service. It was this beautiful custom in its intention. It recalled that heartbreaking moment on the mountain when Abraham offered the sacrifice of Isaac. So this service, this presentation begins with offering a sacrifice, just as Mary and Joseph did. But for all of the Israelites, it also recalled the fulfillment of God's promise to save them from slavery and death. It went from the promise of Abraham being the father of many nations to the promise of the Israelites being saved from the hands of the Egyptians. So when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple 40 days after his birth, like countless parents before them, they would have remembered the Passover, so deeply ingrained in the consciousness of every Israelite. They would remember the night when their fate as the people of God hung by only the thread of God's promise and the hope that God would remain faithful to that promise. That the firstborn would literally be passed over from death. It was the night when their deliverance as the people of God would begin. And their faith and trust in the promises of God would be remembered again and again. Mary and Joseph, like all the faithful, would bring their firstborn as an offering to God 40 days after their child was born. One day for every year that their people wandered in the wilderness before the final deliverance happened and they arrived at the promised land. And every time they presented their firstborn in the temple, that was their hope, to arrive again at the promised land. It was their gesture of thanksgiving to remember that God always remains faithful to God's promises. And as we enter the temple with them today, we meet Simeon and Anna, the priest and the prophet, who represent the hope that God will continue to remain faithful to God's promise. The hope for them that God will come again to save them from the darkness and oppression of being a conquered people by sending them a Savior. Simeon and Anna represent our hope and our waiting. These fragile and frail witnesses represent the hope and the faith that is sometimes frail and fragile in us. Because again and again in our lives, as we make our pilgrimage of faith, as we come to this temple, Sunday by Sunday, it can seem as though the light of God's presence has grown dim. Have you felt it the last month or so? The world just seems to be in such a state of heightened fear and anxiety. And here we are, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the light of the world that is meant to banish that darkness, to dispel those fears. So like Simeon and Anna, we come to this temple lives over to God, in hopes that God will remain faithful to the promise made to us in our baptism, that we may be peace and light in God's presence to all whose lives we touch. And therein lies the real paradox of this feast. We come to this temple like Simeon, but in this Eucharist, we receive the offering of God's Son into our own hands. And as we partake of that, at the same time, on some level, we understand that it is we ourselves who are being offered. For if we are honest with ourselves, we know that the light of Christ which shines in us is warm and radiant, but also as frail and fragile as the flame of a candle. And yet through our baptism and through this Eucharist, we are called to offer it, offer ourselves, offer our lives and our witness again and again. To come to this table, to have our faith and hope rekindled, and to bear the light of Christ, dispel the darkness of all whose lives we touch. And that paradox continues, because even as you hold the presence of Christ in your hands this day, you are meant to discover that you yourself are being held. That as frail and fragile as your life or faith or hope may be, it rests in Christ's arms and is being presented by Him in the temple of God's grace and